of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. Imagine that you've got a piece of land. Perhaps you're a farmer, perhaps you're not, and the land is just sitting there. Someone who cares about you comes to you with a bag of seeds. You're told to plant them, just do that much. You don't even have to know at first how to plant the seeds correctly. Just trust enough to scatter the seed on the ground and watch what happens. That's all you've got to do, you're told. The field will be watered, the field will grow. God will take all the responsibility for the outcome of the crop, since it was God's seed that was planted originally. We get the strong impression that these seeds that we're being given are trustworthy. So we do it. We plant the seed and we're surprised to see that God comes and looks after them alongside us. God's out there, even when we're asleep. And the seed begins to grow, and it produces far more than we could have asked for or even imagined. And the seed, the crop that's grown, benefits us and others. And at harvest time, God asks of us how much of it we want to give away. We take what we need, and we give the rest away. Of course we do, because if we don't, what we've gathered is just going to go bad. There's no sense in hoarding grain. And the next year, God comes back with more seed. And of course we plant it. Eventually, we become great farmers, producing more and more each year, and learning as we go on. People may start to notice our prosperity. There may have been a point when we thought about keeping more of our harvest back for ourselves. But we tried that, and the reward wasn't particularly great. Less growth in the crops, less growth in us. Why keep more when we've already got everything we need? We learn that even if we scatter the seed on the ground, using it all up, although we've got more land to plant, the seed for that land comes too. And the more we plant, the bigger the harvest. And the bigger the harvest, the more relationships we form with people who need what we have and those who want to join in giving to us from their crops. And the one with the seeds continues to return ever more faithfully with more and more seed. Sometimes, maybe, it's not quite as much as we were hoping for. But quite often, it's more. We get to know this bearer of the seeds much better. We trust his judgment. Our gratitude abounds. How could it not? Think of all the people that we're helping, and think of all the people that we're befriending. But only because God taught us how and provided the means for us to do it. And we start giving up some of the things we thought we needed so that we can buy more and more land to plant on. And the seed starts to grow really well there as well. Maybe we think we don't need to be rich. Giving becomes part of our regular pattern, a really good habit. And giving up something to do more giving sounds like a pretty good incentive. And the joy of farming that harvest and the joy of giving it to others who needs it builds up in us, sometimes overflowing. We're changing as a community. We're happier, stronger, wiser, yet we're more trusting in general. We're rich in so many ways, and all we want to do is keep working alongside the one who taught us to plant in the first place. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God, 2 Corinthians 9:11. And the more we do this, the more people are praising God who brought the seed, even the ones who haven't met God yet. Though we've dedicated ourselves to this work, they recognize something else in the overflowing nature of what we're doing. And all thanks goes to God who brought the seed in the first place. Even those who haven't met him believe that this God is faithful. They see our obedience to him, they sense our joy, and they're grateful for us as well. We find friends who are farming with the same seed, taught by the same one who brought us the seed. They've had a similar experience with their crops. They're growing in similar ways. And the one with the seeds tells us to gather together, to work together, to farm together, to learn how to farm together on different land where other people desperately need the seed that we're sowing. We do it, and the love in us for other places and other people grows as well. We have friends all over the world who receive from our crops, people who farmed alongside us. And all of this came our way because we said yes to a bag of seed. We went out and scattered it in faith and trust. That is a picture of that first reading this morning. But we don't have to know everything. We're not required to be experts. We don't have to know what to do, we just have to be obedient. And in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells a parable about a sower going out to plant crops, but loses some of his seed along the path. Some lands on the hard soil that doesn't have the nutrients that it needs. It sprouts and then withers. Some lands amongst the weeds, but of course they rise up and choke it. And then other seed is sown and it's rewarded. A crop that keeps growing and gets outweighed. Planning our giving is wise. Doing our due diligence is great. But how much better is that giving when it's backed up by a good Heavenly Father who works alongside us to cause our work to produce fruit? God, who planned and started a good and generous work in us, is always going to be faithful to complete it. The only thing we've got to concern ourselves with is going out and doing the simple thing that God asked us to do in the first place. Go out there and plant the seeds. There's a little word in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, skorpizo. In Greek, skorpizo means to scatter. It can even mean to waste. And the giver talked about in that parable in Matthew's gospel isn't even careful about his planting. His giving is not a waste, though, because it's God who brings in the harvest. If we obediently plant seeds, God is always going to be faithful to bear fruit, to bring fruit. And when we first start to give alongside God, it's a learning process. But God provides the means, almost like a parent allowing a child to learn just how good giving is. Though it's right to work at becoming a wise steward, there's a sort of safety feature that's built into giving with God. Even what may look like giving failures to us can be redeemed and worked out as God works out all things for a harvest of righteousness. God isn't watching our productivity. God is looking at our hearts. God is looking at the way our hearts' work is touching the hearts of others and how much that is paving a way for the incoming of the gospel. Through us, God provides for the needs of the hungry and care of the poor. But it's not just about that. The gift of seed will always produce more and bless others. But this passage in 2 Corinthians says that it will produce a harvest of righteousness. And that is part of the surpassing grace that St. Paul writes about in 2 Corinthians. We're changed when we give what we've been given. It's not about what we produce, the harvest that is growing, but it's about us growing too, growing in righteousness. And it's a righteousness that cannot be taken away from us. We hear all the time that God loves a cheerful giver. That cheer isn't something we can just conjure up out of the sky. A cheerful giver is someone who is experiencing this life with God, receiving from God as the source, and then giving what is received away joyfully. Learning to be generous with God naturally leads us to be that cheerful giver that God loves. And one of the most amazing lines in 2 Corinthians 9 says that God is perfectly able to replenish whatever we give so that we can be generous on all occasions, which will result in thanksgiving to God. But we avoid this sometimes because it sounds like we're presuming from God. But there it is in the text. Though it doesn't say that God will automatically replenish what we give away, it does say that God is able to make it happen. God is able to increase our supply so that we can produce more fruit and grow in giving. So it's no wonder that givers are truly joyful people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.